If you're looking for the podcast that can relate to most of your struggles in romantic relationships, tell you the truth about the hows to get better and the whys, and still keep it 100 with you, the Talk with Yaks podcast has got you covered. Welcome to the Talk with Yaks podcast this evening on Anchor by Spotify, and we are starting right about now. Dearest listener, do accept my sincere apologies for my lengthy absence. It wasn't on purpose, it was because I was unwell, but I'm getting better now, which is why I'm here. This is the Talk with Yaks podcast, and I needed to just say that. Tonight, we shall be discussing four subtle things that can hurt your relationship. So let's get started. I'm a firm believer who believes in the power of having good habits. Whether or not you believe that your habit can affect your relationship positively or negatively is a discussion for another day. But believe me when I say that your habits can actually affect your relationship. And me being a firm believer of good habit is something I have reiterated several times on the show here. And when you hear partners say something along the lines of, this isn't you. In other words, they're saying, I haven't seen this habit in you before now. What's happened? Honey, what's the problem? Why is that? The truth remains the truth. When two people begin a relationship in a short time, both partners will get to know each other's habits. Some, and not all of it. When I said some, I meant you will get to know some of the habits and not all of the habits. Because as you grow, things will change. They will develop new habits and throw it old ones, but that's not a discussion for today. However, I will entrust you to know that attitudes can be the starting point of habit formation, and this includes our attitudes toward many things, including the relationship itself and our partners too. So often we coach our children or people younger than us many things. We coach them on many things because of the experiences we might have gained, and some of which include the need to develop the right habits, why you should do that, why you shouldn't do that, why you should, why it's important for you to be on your best behavior. But it's easy for us to overlook how important it is for us too. It's more or less like, do what I say, but don't do what I do. And a lot of us do that. I just needed to laugh there. So our habits in any romantic relationship, including marriage itself, shape our relationship for the better or, unfortunately, even for worse. And this is what most of us do not want to hear, but it is the truth, and I promised that I would tell us the truth, even if we don't want to hear it. That's my promise. Excuse me. For instance, we might have this bad habit which our spouse might have told us about countless times, and sometimes we even know about them, before they voice out. But then we refuse to work to change it and still expect 100% from our partner. Why? It's funny, yeah? But it happens all the time, and we have that sort of love me the way I am thing. Some even say, I told you this is who I am, but when a person says that, it means they are not ready to change. It means they are not ready to work on it. and what's life without change? So listen to me. I have said this before, and I will say it now, and I will say it again and again and again until it sinks into you. It's okay to come as you are, but it's not okay to remain the way you came. Now, whatever happened to growth? In any case, you must understand that evolving for the better is the only rule of the game, and that's what will help you, okay? So, what is one of those things that can actually hurt our relationship without us even knowing? Number one is busyness, as in B-U-S-Y-N-E-S-S. Now, we need to define what busyness means appropriately, because if I were to ask each person listening to me now, you'd likely say, oh yeah, I'm busy. But the question is, busy doing what? And how has that affected your life and your relationship in general? I perfectly understand that when we tell people we are busy in this present age, it sounds noble. Yeah. Or at least it's not idle. And it may mean other things, and one of which may translate into saying, I am successful, or this project has me super busy, I don't have your time. You know, that sense of making progress, it's often linked to being busy. And we have this notion of tying busyness to success. And I'm not disputing the fact, because when you are successful, everyone wants a piece of you and your time, and there is usually not enough to go around for them all. And then there's that part where we have to work to get the basic necessities of life done, and I perfectly understand that. So it depends on what level you are at presently. But unfortunately, someone could be busy all day long and at the end of the day achieve nothing worthwhile. Now, this is why I said we need to define what busyness means. So, a habit of busyness is different from simply having a lot on your plates. It means you derive a sense of meaning and value from constantly doing instead of being present for your partner. And this can result in an inability to be fully present with a person. Have you noticed that successful people and people who are materially successful usually have lesser time for their partners? So it simply means that their relationship suffers, which is why I'm not advocating that, which is why the rate of infidelity amongst the rich folks is high, likewise to among the poor folks, respectfully speaking. You know, there's this inability to be present in the lives of their significant other, and this has the power to rob them from intimacy and actual connection, you know. But the truth is, your spouse, your partner wants to be seen by you. Now, let me say this, an area of neglect can be an area exploited by another, which is why I said what I said earlier. If you have ears, you will understand. So it is rather unfortunate that some people have placed business, you know, above their partners. And of course, we haven't even talked about the kids yet, but that's a conversation for another day. So if you notice that this attitude, this is one of your habits in your relationship, you may not know, but I'm here to tell you that it is affecting your relationship negatively. You know, when was the last time you had a tete-a-tete with your partner for at least 30 minutes without the phones, without the other gadgets, without the TV interrupting? Because there's always something ready to interrupt. Our world is full of noises, too many, too much voices. I just remembered something. Frances. Well, it has nothing to do with this anyway. So my advice to you here is to practice, involve yourself in practices that intentionally show that you are present for your partner and that you see them, because every spouse, every partner wants to be seen by their partner, you know? And that is why they actually fall for the next person who sees them. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it makes a lot of sense to me, you know? So apart from that, and to be honest here, I could dwell here all day. This whole, maybe we'll talk about seeing your spouse one of these days. We shall look at that topic. So it has given me the liberty to progress. So practices that slow you down is important in such a time as this one. I know when we have too many screens, you know, the phone is one, the laptop is another, the iPad is another, all these gadgets that can easily distract your quality time. Above quantity, quality matters too, guys, really. And it's part of the way you show them that I see you, honey. I'm not just you know, you could actually be with someone for 5 years and not see them. It's very possible. I wish I could. I will find the right words to explain this properly in a separate episode, and I wouldn't like you to miss that one. So please, I wouldn't like you to miss that one. I beg your pardon. So you could set aside some few minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, you know, or whatever it is, maybe lunch, another, or some activity that will cause you guys to come closer, you know, learn about each other over again, you know. It's a continuous process. Enjoy each other's company, the silence. In a nutshell, all I'm saying is practicing a healthy balance between family life and other areas of your life is important. Otherwise, you wake up one day and you've given 70% of your time to total strangers, and your spouse, your guess is as good as mine. So I'm rushing, by the way. I do not want to spend much time here. Point number two says laziness. While business can be a hindrance to you getting to the next stage of your relationship with your spouse, laziness can equally cause harm. Strange, right? I know. But it is the truth. You know, some have never thought about it this way, but I want your mind to start working in that direction. You know, so dearest listener, ask yourself the difficult questions. Of course, there are many of them, but one of them is, in what area have I been lazy in my relationship with my spouse? Now, most of the time, we like to consider ourselves perfect, so we wouldn't define ourselves as lazy. Oh no, not in the eye of the public. Oh no, yes, I'm not lazy. We work hard at the job and at home. Wonderful. We do all we can to provide for our families, and that is amazing. But has it come to your notice that another part of your life might be suffering? Now listen to me, yeah? Most times the reason we are up and doing, especially on our jobs, is because of our superiors or supervisors, and that means if we do not do what we're supposed to do, we will get questioned. And when that comes often, your guess is as good as mine. Yeah, that's it's not a good report. All right, so, but on the other hand, stay with me. On the other hand, when it comes to our relationship, because of the absence of a supervisor and coach, we slip into that lazy mode every now and then, unfortunately. Most relationships are currently going through this. Other times, on our job, we are entitled to raise what we call a raise if we do well, or some form of incentive, which can come in different ways. But I'd like to ask you this question. In our relationships, when we do well, do we get a raise? Is there an incentive, you know? But this is something I want you to think about. Yeah, long and hard. Finally, you have gotten the girl of your dreams, that girl you have always dreamt of, and vice versa too. That means for the ladies, what do we then do? What do we then say? You automatically stop putting in effort, and the same goes for the ladies too. Listen, I can dwell here and discuss about this all day long, but I choose not to. I'm a man of my word. I promised to work within the time frame allotted to me. So, unknowingly, you have slipped into the zone of complacency. And what you do not know is that you are piling up some form of trouble waiting to happen when the other person gets to their elasticity limits. And we all do have that. You know, sometimes it is not about what or how you did it. It can be about what you stopped doing. Think about that last statement. So all I'm saying is that sometimes laziness settles in as it pertains to a relationship with our spouse. And this happens occasionally in different relationships, and sometimes even without us knowing. That's why it is subtle. However, I must remind you that nothing good comes from nothing. So if laziness is one of your habits in your relationship, what you're doing is creating a relationship that is out of shape and unhealthy. Try again. Put in a little work, go the extra mile, try something new, or perhaps what you guys are used to. Listen, I guarantee you that if you fight laziness in your relationship or in your marriage, you will see the difference would be as clear as day and night. Trust me, I wish I could dwell here, but time-ish. Point number three, fearfulness. Subtle. Now remember, the title of today's episode has the word subtle in it, fearfulness. And the word subtle means not obvious, one, or easily understood, two, or barely noticeable, three. What is the characteristic of a thief? What are the features of one who is a thief? They come in unnoticed. They want to remain in that manner. They move in a way, a manner that you do not understand. You know, not noticeable, barely seen, not obvious. This is the character of a thief. And whenever a thief comes, you should know we've come for one sole aim: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that is the assignment of fear. You know, sometimes we act in fear and we do not know that we are acting in fear. What was we in a bid not to allow fear control us? We do not know we've given them the keys. Fear is a terrible enemy, and many do not know that they have allowed it to gain control over their thoughts and actions. Sadly, many people, many folks have permitted it in their space for so long that it has developed into a habit. The truth is, fear can come in different ways. So, if I may, what are you afraid of? Are you fearful of disappointing your partner? Are you fearful that they might not love you back? Do you fear the failure as... Do you fear failure as a partner, or do you fear failure as a parent? Are you secretly afraid that you wouldn't be able to provide well for your family? Now, I didn't know what you're afraid of. Perhaps I might not have even mentioned yours today, but listen to this. Whatever you fear will control you, and what's even more dangerous is that it will control you without you knowing it, you know. And this can wreak havoc on your relationship, on your marriage, because you will take many actions in fear and let it control your behavior too. You know, in a nutshell, you might breathe in fear and breathe out fear. It is that deep, people. But this is not to create more fear in you, because if I did that, I haven't helped you in any way. So, dearest listener, please listen. There's always a way out of any ordeal, whatever it is that causes that fear. So if you think fearfulness might be one of the things that you have allowed to gain control over you, take some time to meet with a counselor or a therapist, a professional help, seeking professional help to work to identify the source of it. It's something I recommend. And on your own, you could try journaling and praying about the matter, because I believe prayer works. And lastly on this one, in order to strip fear of its power over you, it doesn't mean you ignore the reality. Acknowledge it and then move to tackle it courageously. Alright? So point number four, I'm wrapping up. Point number four is dissatisfaction or discontentment. Now this can be a good thing, especially if you use it to your advantage, because it always comes before a positive life change. But too many times we do not use it to our advantage. Instead, we become resentful or hateful toward our partner, and that will only compound things. It will make things worse. It's one thing to feel that way and use that force to get the desired change, and it's another to let it brew in you and allow the darkness to take over your life. Eesh. You must know that discontentment starts with a feeling and can end up in either way. One, if acted on, our discontentment can lead us toward a better life with greater meaning, impact, and purpose. Two, if not handled properly, it can be the beginning of looking backward on your life with regret. And from that point, one's life will be on a downward spiral as you battle against it. And I do not pray you experience this. So have you ever looked at your life and thought, this isn't what my life should be like at my age? Most of us have. At some point, I have. But the deal is, many times we are right, because it comes from that feeling that something isn't quite right. And as I said earlier, it is a powerful force for change if we will be consistent and progressive wisely. But most times we do not know how to go about it, and then we end up in a bad place. Too many times we end up in a bad place. And in a marriage or any relationship that has lasted for a while, the truth is, routine can create boredom in a particular way in that relationship. You know, kids, probably before the kids arrive, just you, your spouse, asking yourselves the same questions every day. Have you eaten? How was your day like? So tell me, what was the highlight of your day? You know, blah, blah, blah. Those kinds of questions. So it can actually create boredom. Now that's a topic for another day, which is why some people seek it instead of finding the spark or igniting the spark again in their relationship. They seek something new, but they fail to realize that what is new today will still become old tomorrow. And I hope that makes sense. So it's easy to find yourself discontented because your dreams of wedded bliss have been replaced by normal life, you know, with kids and work, even before the arrival of kids, and arguments and hurt feelings, or some of the thing you never saw coming. The truth is, we have all been there, you know, and you look at your friends and they seem to have a perfect life, the perfect relationship, but remember, they comparing themselves with themselves are not wise. And that's from the Holy Scripture, by the way. And someone once said that comparison is the thief of joy. And I believe that person should be Theodore Roosevelt. Yeah, one time he was president, if I'm not mistaken. Unless I forget, the last time I was on the show, I said something along the lines of those couples that seem to have the picture perfect marriage or relationship are those who have mastered how to navigate the highs and the lows together as a team. And it's one thing you should learn. So I'm wrapping up, by the way. If you think this contentment is one of the things affecting your relationship or your marriage, you could try this little exercise. You know, you could start by making a gratitude journal about your partner. Occasionally write down one thing about your partner that you're grateful for. You know, thankfulness is an antidote for discontentment. And finally, if realized, understood and acted on, your discontentment can be a gift, pointing you in the right direction to help redirect your life, you know. And I hope it makes sense. So this whole episode was centered on subtle things that can hurt your relationship, and I hope it makes sense. So I'm YKS. If you want to get in touch with me, talkwithyaks@gmail.com is the email address. And do share with someone if this was helpful to you. Thank you. Bye-bye. I love you. Thank you for keeping it a day with me on Talk with Yaks this week. Hope to be here next week. Same time, same place.